Hallelujah. Praise God forever. We thank you, praise you, and bless you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So good to see everybody. How many of y'all love the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. How many know the Word's changing us, isn't it? Because we are hearers of the Word and doers of the Word. That's right. We're hearers and doers. Amen. Praise God. Well, my wife and I, we count it a great privilege and a great honor to be with you all. And we count it not lightly that we are here at this time.
Amen.
I believe that God always, in His timing, meaning this, He sends you at the right place at the right time.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
As we follow His leading. So how many know these messages are right spot on?
Yes, sir.
They're right here for the right time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I had shared with some folk years ago in the Pentecostal circles, the group I'm in, that there was a lot of, I don't know, maybe looking down upon, or is it really necessary that we do that concerning the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues?
Yes.
And they said, do you really think you have to do all that to be saved? And we'd tell them, say, well, no.
Right.
No, you don't have to do that.
No,
Bible says any man that confesses Jesus Christ, his name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he's saved.
Yes.
But how many know after you get born again, it's part of the package deal if you want it.
Amen.
And so there was a lot of kind of looking down upon it, and there was a big emphasis at that time, and God seemed to be emphasizing the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Well, in the last few years, it seems that the Spirit of God, by God, is emphasizing biblical prosperity.
Amen.
And it's almost at some times receiving the same outlook.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Is that really necessary?
Yes, sir.
Do we have to have all of that to serve God? Absolutely not. But how many know it sure do make it easier? And then when we want to do projects on of the building and buy a church van, how many know it sure do go smoother? Amen. Glory to God. So if I got any hungry folk in here tonight want to know about prosperity, amen. Amen. All right. Well, as you're being seated, tell somebody, I'll take yours if you don't want it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like for you to open them up to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And we're going to read a couple, three verses that I know you've heard before here at the beginning. But in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, King James, it talks about, and sometime when you have time, if you will read the verses prior to this, talks about they're coming after some of the people of God. They're trying to dictate to them how they're going to live. They're creating some burdensome things. And the prophet writes, and it says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, not God's, shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed, not broken.
Destroyed.
Destroyed. Everybody say
destroyed.
Anytime you break something, there's a real good chance you can put it back together.
Yes.
My wife has some ceramic reindeer. And every year when we're unboxing them, putting them out all over the house, one of them's hoof would be broke off or a leg or a horn or something. And we've been able to super glue them back, but some of them is beyond repair. But some of them we've been able to glue back. But how many know if you take a hammer and you smash it, you've destroyed it?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting that in this verse that he's trying to get us to see something because of the anointing, this yoke,
yes, sir,
should be destroyed in your life, not broken.
Amen.
Not replaced, but destroyed.
Amen.
So in this verse, if you could pull that up in the Young's Literal. I'm going to pray while they're pulling that up. Father, tonight we love and thank you and praise you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around the Word of God. Thank you for the, if I could say it, the emphasis that we're not money-minded, but we are what you redeemed us from, spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack-minded. We want to know what you've redeemed us from and redeemed us to. So tonight, Father, we thank you for us having eyes to see spiritually, images, and a heart to see and receive what the Spirit of God is saying and showing. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, said amen.
Amen.
In Isaiah 10, 27, Young's literal, it says, and it hath come to pass in that day, turn is his burden from off thy shoulder, his yoke from off thy neck, and destroyed hath been the yoke. Why? And when you read the verses before this, you'll understand. In this, it's interesting that Jesus was going to do some things. And you remember Judas, he had acted like a very spiritual assignment or a very spiritual mission when he said, that woman that put that expensive perfume on you, that could have been sold and gave to the poor. And a lot of times people will really emphasize that and don't even know what spirit they're of.
Yes.
That's a Judas spirit.
Yes.
And Jesus said, she's preparing me for burial. And he said, you're not going to have me always.
Right.
Not here.
Yeah.
But he said, the poor, you will always have with you. And my question was, why?
Yes.
Because they won't believe the gospel.
Yes.
That they've been redeemed from some stuff. Are you following me?
Yes.
So in that, biblical prosperity will include finances. But it is not just finances.
Right.
Prosperity means increase.
Yes,
so if I'm increasing in my physical body in health,
yes,
I am prospering.
Amen.
If I'm increasing in other areas, even financial, how many know I am prospering?
Amen.
If I'm increasing in understanding of the word and revelation, I am prospering.
Yes,
amen. And so, it's interesting that Isaiah wrote it, and destroyed hath been the yoke because of what?
Prosperity.
Prosperity. Then if you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 11 through 14 in the King James first. And he says here, and we've used this verse before, about don't be unequally yoked together. Is that correct? Now, what does that mean to you and me? I used to think it only emphasized a believer and a non-believer. But yet there's a whole list of things to not be yoked with.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He said, oh, you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our hearts is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto children, be you also what?
Enlarged.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with what?
Darkness.
I'm going to ask you a question right here. In 1 John 2, it says, he that hateth his brother walketh where?
In darkness.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we've always emphasized darkness as somebody not saved.
Yes.
That's not true.
No, sir.
It will relate to that.
Yes.
But in 1 John 2, John's writing to Christians.
Yes, sir.
So when he says they walk in darkness, they actually have saw something, but they choose not to believe it.
Yes, sir.
Or they go a different way.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He said, if you hate your brother, you've stepped out of light into
darkness.
You don't be yoked with that.
Amen.
Well, I don't like biblical prosperity, and there'll be some that'll try to incite a riot
right.
To emphasize their point and pull others away from the light.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
Just like there were those that tried to do it with speaking in tongues.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You better not go down there. We've been accused of handling snakes before. If they knew me very well, they know that ain't going to happen. Really, they have though. Oh, you go to that church. Are you following me? And what that is that devil is emphasizing, don't go there because your Lord will hear something that'll change your life forever. So then in these verses, verse 11 through 14, can you pull them up in the Message Bible, please? And this one here is so good in the Message. It says, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. What life? It's a John 10:10.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it how? This is the wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. What did? Your lives aren't small. But look at somebody and say, I'm going to stop it.
Stop it.
I'm going to stop it. But you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Paul's not mad at them.
Right. Amen.
Paul's not upset with them. His desire is that they see how they're living. Yes. And see what is actually available to them. And then he said, open up your lives, live openly and expansively. What is expansively? What's an expansion?
Bigger.
Bigger. Addition.
Yes,
larger. Larger. Then verse 12. Did we read 12? Okay. And then 14. Don't become partners with those who reject God. Now, it seemed like we skipped something here. Don't become partners to reject. You're right on it. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership. What is it?
That's war.
That's war. Okay. Now in this, what we're going to go after tonight, these are some of the verses that I've been looking at for a while. It's interesting here. If you'd like, go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and we'll go 10 through 16. Do you have the easy read version?
Yes,
sir. Okay. Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 16. God is going to tell them what is prepared for them. But then at the end of it, he says, in the day of increase, what's he say? Don't forget me.
Yes, amen.
Remember that?
Yes, sir.
So he starts off and he says, you will have all you want to eat. This is, how many know, they've come out of Egypt. They're preparing to go into Canaan's land. And he said, you will have all you want to eat. Then you will praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you.
Amen.
Be careful. What? Be careful to obey the commandments, laws, and rules that I give you today.
Amen.
Then you will have and you will build and live in them. 13, your cattle, your sheep, your goats will grow large. You will get plenty of gold and silver. You will have plenty of what?
Everything.
Everything. When this happens, you must be careful not to become proud. You must not forget the Lord your God. You were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves to the devil, to the world. But he made us free and brought us out of that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now in that, do you remember Hebrews 11:6? It talks about without faith, he that believeth there is a God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. For without faith, it is what?
It is impossible
to please God without faith. The God kind of faith. Is that true?
Yes.
One of the most dangerous places to live is to get to a place where you started with God and had absolutely nothing, and you've walked with God, you've followed Him, you've done what the Scripture says, and you've actually come into a wealthy place, a better place.
Yes.
Don't forget God in the day of prosperity or increase.
Yes.
That's what He told them.
Yes.
He said, you follow me, you walk with me, you're going to come to a place, you're going to build good houses.
Amen.
Everything's going to be pregnant. Everything's going to be, it's going to be increased. He said, just be careful.
Yes, sir.
Don't become proud thinking you did it and forget about me.
Yes,
how many know? We know where we come from.
Yes.
We don't talk so much about where we come from, but how many know? We know where we come from. And how many know we know how we got here? Not because we're so smart, not because we're so wonderful, but because of the goodness of God. Amen. We had to cooperate with Him, but how many know He prepared all this for us? Amen. So in that, we will not forget God, right? Now, let's get into this tonight and go as far as we can. Go with me to Proverbs 10:22. That was the introduction to tonight's message.
Amen.
Proverbs 10:22. You ready? King James, of course, it reads, "The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it." Correct?
Yes.
The blessing of the Lord. Everybody say the anointing.
The anointing.
Now, for time's sake, I'll not go back. But Deuteronomy 8:17, where we just were, if you go on down, verse 17-18, it says, don't get to thinking you did this all by yourself. He said, you have to remember it is me that giveth you power, dunamis, to produce wealth.
Yes.
So that I can keep my promise and my covenant to your ancestors, but it is also still available today.
Yes.
Now in that, how many of you know the word blessing is power and also dunamis?
Yes.
So we could call it an anointing.
Amen.
Any anointing of God comes by and through the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
There's times when the power of God will come and there'll be an anointing for healing. Healing is ministered by the laying on of hands. But how many know whoever is doing that does not possess that power. That power flows through them by God.
Yes.
We can't heal a gnat's wing.
Yes. Right.
But God can flow through us. But to God be the glory.
Yes.
Well, that same blessing or power is also called an anointing. And it's what He put on Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, right on down the list. And it's interesting, it is the very first thing that He put on Adam.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
I will bless you.
Yes, sir.
Then I expect you, by operating in the blessing, go to the earth, subdue it, keep it, dress it, replenish it, be fruitful, increase, and multiply.
Yes.
Same commission for today.
Amen.
So the blessing of the Lord, what's it do?
Maketh rich.
And what happens? And He addeth no sorrow with it. Can you pull that one up in the easy read, Proverbs 10:22, please? It says in the easy read, it is the Lord's blessing that what?
Brings
wealth. And what?
No hard work can add to it.
No hard work. Tonight, please underline somewhere in your notes, hard work. And we're going to emphasize something tonight. How many of you know if you don't work, you don't eat?
Yes, right.
But there has to be something about work by a man or woman under the blessing.
Yes, amen.
Where we don't get the credit.
Amen.
But the blessing does.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
The Amplified, Proverbs 10:22, I think it says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. And then tell me, what's it say?
He has no sorrow with it,
neither does toil nor leaning.
So tonight in your notes, add no sorrow, no toiling.
Amen.
No sorrow, No toiling.
Amen.
But yet there will be work.
Yes, sir.
But in the blessing. Everybody say, in the Lord's blessing.
The Lord's blessing.
No sorrow.
No sorrow.
No toiling.
No toiling.
All right. Now, go over, please, to Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at verse 26 and verse 28 in the Amplified. Genesis 1, 26 and verse 28. It says, and God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. And then 28. And God what?
Bless them.
There's the blessing.
Yes,
empowerment to prosper.
Yes,
yes.
And God blessed them and said to them, what? Fill the earth. Subdue it. Now, everything from the earth that was produced, God made everything first, then made Adam. So that Adam had a revelation, he is never to serve the things of the earth, but everything on the earth is to serve him in the worshiping of God and fulfilling the assignment God gives every man. Using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. Everybody say, all the vast resources.
All the vast resources.
What about gold?
Yes.
That's resources.
Yes.
What about silver?
Yes.
Do you know, if you've ever read Genesis in chapter 3, it says that when, after God made everything and then he made his man Adam before Eve come, he took him and he showed him where he had hid all of the precious metals.
Yes.
The gold, the silver, rubies. It says so.
Yeah.
And then my wife always gets tickled and she says, the reason he did that, because he knew Eve was coming. Amen. Using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish, sea, the birds there, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Everybody say, God blessed Adam. He empowered him with his blessing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Then if you would, go to Genesis 2:15, please. And I know I'm moving along kind of quick, but you can keep up, right?
Yes.
Okay. Genesis 2:15. And it says, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? Tend it, guard it, and what else?
Keep it.
Now, it's interesting here that God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife.
Yes, sir.
That's real good preaching right there. Amen. Write that down. Especially if you got young ladies in your house. Does he have a job?
Yeah, right.
Can he qualify for even a low-priced credit card? How long has he worked here? Are you following me? These are just good questions. Amen. And so then he put him in the garden and he gave him a job. Is this right? He gave him an assignment. Then if you would, please, go over to chapter 3 and let's look at verse 17 through 19 in the Amplified. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Amplified. And to Adam he said, remember when they fell?
Yep.
Okay. I don't have time to go into it. But if you've really studied it, how much stuff in the garden could they partake of? Everything but
one tree.
The one. What is it?
One tree.
Tree of life. Tree of knowledge, good and evil.
Yes.
Now they are already
to
know the difference between good and evil. They already had.
Yes, sir.
They already had. But when you really look at it and start digging at it, God said, that's mine.
Yes.
Yes.
Brother Copeland believes that that was the tithe off of the garden.
Amen.
And he said, don't eat it.
Yeah. Amen.
God says, that's my tree.
Yes.
You leave it alone. Everything else in this whole garden you can take.
Yes, sir.
I shouldn't have brought it up, should I? Okay, but anyway, we're still moving along. Okay, now, so he says, and to Adam he said, because you have listened, given heed to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is under a curse because of you. Now, tell me what God said.
And sorrow and toil shall you eat of the fruits of it all the days of your life.
How long?
All the days of your life.
Then verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of it. 19. Now tell me this one. For out of it you're taken, for dust you are, dust you shall return.
Amen.
Everybody say sorrow,
toil,
and sweat.
Sweat.
Proverbs, you all read with me, Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh truly rich. No, that's it. Y'all say it. As no sorrow with it. Or toiling. Adam, when he walked with God and fellowship with God, was very aware. He was led by vision minded. When he fell, he automatically, immediately became provision minded and thought he had to provide for himself.
Yes. Amen.
When you and I got saved, born again, we were taught, you better make a living, different things, and there is work. But there's a difference between working in the toiling, the sweating, and sorrow than working with the blessing of God that brings produce or increase. He said, the blessing of the Lord bringeth increase, maketh rich, right? Addeth no
sorrow
or toiling with it. Correct?
Amen.
When Adam fell, how's he going to continue on from that point? Everybody say, sweat of his brow.
Sweat of his brow.
Where else? Sorrow.
Yes.
What else?
Toil.
When we were taught, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so blessed. But then work to a place that we were so provision minded that there was no rest for the soul.
Yes. Amen.
And we thought we had to produce it. And God told the children of Israel, he said, you follow me, I'll give you a power.
Yes.
Amen. And it'll produce wealth.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And he said, just don't forget me
yes.
in the day of increase.
Amen.
So everybody say, no toiling,
no toiling,
no sorrow,
no sorrow,
no sweat.
No sweat.
Now go please, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 17 and 18 in the Amplified. Now as you turn, I know you're turning pages, and they'll pull it up for us too. What had provided for Adam before the fall?
God.
The blessing, God. Is that correct?
Yes.
What happened when he left the blessing? How's it going to come? Toil, sorrow, sweat of the brow. Folks, if you're born again, you don't have to live like that.
Amen.
I did for years.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But we are the set apart ones. We are the chosen ones.
Yes.
How many know? We are so special to God, not because of who we are, but because of who we chose to follow.
Yes.
That's what makes us special.
Yes.
We're not special because of who we are here. It's because of who we belong to. His name is Jesus. That makes us the set apart ones. So in Ezekiel 44:17 Amplified, it says, when they enter the gates of the inner court, everybody, if you would say inner courts, they shall be clothed in a linen garment. No wool shall be on them while they minister gates of the inner court and within the temple. And then 18, they shall have linen turbans on their heads, linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes them to what?
Sweat.
Very interesting. This is found in the book of Ezekiel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
19, when they go out of the outer court, before they're going to minister to the people, they can put on a different change. They had a room where before they went into the presence of God, they would never sweat. Because sweat, if you look it up, means to vex or represents the arm of the flesh.
Yes.
And God says, I'll never share my glory.
Yes.
And I don't want in my presence thinking you did something.
Yes. Amen.
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 This is in comparison to the blessing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
I need a vacation because I, listen to our terminology, I deserve it.
Amen.
I have worked really hard. I have made a living.
Mm-hmm.
That's pride.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
Let me come over to this crowd.
Amen.
God said, I don't want anybody that's ministering unto me to ever sweat.
Amen.
Amen.
Told Adam, you used to operate under the blessing. You fell. Sorrow, toil, and sweat is how you're going to do it now. But Jesus come and he redeemed us back. And he gave us the opportunity to get the same blessing he promised to Abraham.
Amen.
And we have it.
Yes, sir.
God gave me a song, no more a sweating and a toiling. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. No more a sweating and a toiling. Living by the grace divine. And it's a good one. I don't remember the rest of it right now. But I got you remember it, honey. Amen.
Amen.
But I like it. I thought this is meaning so much more.
Yes.
Now, look at Ezekiel 44:19 in the Amplified. Oh, we read that, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, listen to the dakes. The dakes Bible says the priests were to change clothes in the holy rooms provided before they go out among the people. The word sweat in the dakes means this, to agitate, to vex, or to trouble.
Amen.
He said, by the sweat in the garden, in the sweat of your brow, and the word sweat means agitate, vex, or trouble. Because we have been accustomed to looking at our job as our source.
Yeah. Amen.
I got to go to work.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
But yet there is work.
Yes, sir.
But it's not by the sweat.
It's not by the sweat.
It's not by the toil.
Amen.
Now, write this down. Life is not supposed to be a struggle of frustration and no rest and no peace.
Yes, sir.
When Adam fell, sorrow, toil, and sweat, Adam lost the ability for God to provide for him. Now Adam was at a place he had to provide for himself. So Adam became provision-minded immediately. What was the first thing Adam did? He said, I'm going to have to clothe myself. Had he been clothed before? Yeah. By God. Had he been took care of before?
Yes.
By who?
God.
By the blessing. Now he's going to have to try to clothe himself.
Yeah.
This almost sounds like Matthew 6.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Why take you thought?
Yes, sir.
What you going to wear?
For raiment.
Yes, sir.
Clothes. Yes. What you going to eat? Where are you going? What you going to drive?
Yes, sir.
Does not your heavenly Father look at the birds? They don't sow, they don't reap, nor gather in the barn, yet they are very well provided for.
Yes.
Amen.
And then he starts talking about, he said, the Gentiles have to go get it another way.
Right.
Seek ye first the way the kingdom of God operates, the blessing.
Yes.
And all of this stuff will be added to you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Go with me, please, to Proverbs 29, verse 18, please. Can you pull that one up in the King James first? I think it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Is that right? Okay, thank you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Then the Amplified you had, please. Proverbs 29. Where there is no vision, no what?
Revelation.
The people what?
Perish.
Can you pull that one up in the Message, please? He says in the Message, if people can't see what God is doing, tell me what happens. But when they attend to what He reveals, there's a way to live. There's a way to live.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
When we got saved, Sally and I, when did you start working, hon? When you like 12 or 13, babysitting, and then waiting tables and all that stuff, and of course, I got pictures of me. I like to show them to Sally when I was, three? 3 years old, and I wasn't big enough to pull a cotton sack. So Mama made me a little burlap sack, and I'm out pulling cotton, picking cotton when I'm 3 years old, dragging a cotton sack. And then I like to show people that, you know, because it's pride. That's all it is, you know. But me and her both were very accustomed to working very, very hard.
Right.
And we thought we had to. We do work hard, but it is no longer by sorrow, toil, or sweat.
Yes.
Amen.
It's in cooperation with the blessing.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to explain something. When the Lord told me, He said, Ricky, if you do this naturally, you would need to live 7 generations,
yes, sir,
to fulfill everything I'm asking you to get done. He said, if you'll do it through my blessing, He said, we can do it in one.
Amen.
That's acceleration.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So there's a way for all of us to live like this. So if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most what?
Blessed.
Blessed. Everybody say, reveal to me, Father, Your blessing. See, it's not just a word. We know that here.
Yes.
Why did Jacob want it so bad? He knew it'd take care of him the rest of his life. May I now say, he counted it valuable.
Yes.
And he honored it.
Yes, he did.
Esau just saw it as a word.
Yes.
He didn't really see it as something that actually carried power.
No, sir.
People have told me before, well, Jacob, he bless you, he stole it from Esau. How many know? Esau sold it for a bowl of beans.
That's right.
That's how much he saw the value of it. You have to see how precious and valuable the blessing of God is. Are you with me? Count it valuable that it'll produce for you. And then how many know God will begin to reveal the workings of it?
Yes.
The Lord told me and Sally, 2023 is the year of the sweatless anointing.
Amen.
That's for us.
Yes.
You can have it if you want, if you believe it.
Yes.
The sweatless anointing. I won't say figures, but when all of this, he kept revealing, and he just, what we've noticed is Isaiah says, here a little, there a little. Line where?
Upon line.
Line.
Upon line.
Upon line. Precept.
Upon precept.
Precept.
Upon precept.
Here or there. Here a little.
There.
There a little. What's he saying? This wall ain't going to get built overnight.
Yes. Yeah.
But he said, I'm going to reveal something to you. And if you'll put it into your, incorporate it into your living.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'll give you another building block.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Yeah.
Then if you'll incorporate, I'll give you another one.
Yes, sir.
We're building something. Peter says we're building a spiritual house.
Yes.
Yes. So he has been talking to us about the blessing, different things for years. But this year when we said, we got it. No more toiling and sweating. The beginning of, is this still January?
Yes.
Yes.
The beginning this year, this month, there was stuff that transpired financially for us. That those jobs and different things that was almost equal to some things it took a half a year to get.
Yes, sir.
And got it, and it, this month ain't over yet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Buildings are getting paid off.
Amen.
The every building, church building's paid off except for Warren now, and it's close, ain't it, honey? Year away, too. Going right after it, different things. But now listen to this. I'm going to take time tonight to say something so in the morning we can just get right into it. But like we ain't got into it tonight. But when I was bugging him about the church building at Pawnee. And I said, Lord, I want it paid off. And he never would answer me. And I kept bugging him about it. And this was years ago. And finally, after a while, he said, why do you want it paid off? And I said, well, you know. So we don't have to make payments. We're not in debt. And then he was quiet, so I knew it was the wrong answer. And so finally, I'm just going along, and I said, well, Lord, I'd like to pay it off. And so after that, he said, why do you want it paid off? I said, well, you know, so we're not in debt. And he said, no, that's not your answer, or that's not really the right answer from you. He said, you want it paid off because you're tired of having to use your faith every day. And you want out of debt so that you don't. And he said, you want to skip some days and not please me. He said, I'll help you. I'll pay the building off quick. And he did. We paid it off 10 years in advance. But he said, as soon as I do it, I expect you and your wife and that church family,
yes, sir,
to get more faith projects.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
There's such an emphasis on we need to be out of debt. Well, the Bible says we should lend and not borrow.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
But if you ain't there yet, you just ain't there yet.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
But why do we want out of debt?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yes,
we're not encouraging people to get in debt. We're paying stuff off too. Are you with me? But we have to continually live by faith every day.
Amen.
Okay. So, go if you would, please. For time, go. I was going to go to Matthew 6, but you all know what that says, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah. Some three of you do. Okay. Better go read it. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Jesus says here in 24, he says, Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve what? So what master is he talking about? For either you'll hate the one, love the other, he will hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and what?
Mammon.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body in raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I'm going to say something. Remember when we taught this before, Jesus believes in sowing and reaping.
Yes.
Yes.
He taught Luke 6:38.
Yes.
Give, it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured you again.
Yes.
He taught that. He taught Mark 4.
Yes.
Gave him several examples of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
And one of them was, it's like a farmer.
Yes.
Planted seed, went to bed, night and day, got up, went to bed. And he didn't know how, but he said the thing sprouted. First the blade, then the ear, then what?
Full corn
in the ear. And he said, then you should put in the sickle and harvest.
Yeah.
Right? So we know Jesus believed in sowing and reaping. But he's trying to get us to see something here. There is a principle here. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Toil not. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of, O ye of what?
Little faith.
Okay. Therefore, take no thought, saying, how do we take thoughts?
We say them.
What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Jesus says, don't you know, after all of these things do the Gentiles, those who do not have a covenant, do not know how the kingdom of God operates. Seek. Correct?
Yes, sir.
But seek ye first what?
The kingdom of God.
And?
His righteousness.
Can you pull that verse 33 up in the Amplified? Seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom, his righteousness. Now, here's what I want to get to. What's it say? What is the right way of really making a living? Being right. Most people say, well, you just need to be trustworthy. If you're a Christian, you need to be that. What is the right way of making a living? Toiling?
No.
Sweating?
No.
Sorrow?
No.
But see, people won't add that to this.
Right.
Amen.
The blessing
yes.
is to be the provider or the provision for you and I, and it is an empowerment
yes,
by God
yes,
to produce.
Yes.
This is how the kingdom of God operates.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Okay? Look at two or three folk. Say, it's okay to be rich.
It's okay to be rich.
Tell them again, it's okay to be healthy.
It's okay to be healthy.
Tell them again, it's okay to be set free from any addiction. Tell them again, it's okay to be free.
It's okay to be free.
Glory to God. Everybody say work.
Work.
I'm going to say something. Would you pull up Luke 13:14? I can't work hard enough,
amen,
sweat, or long enough to earn any gift from God.
Yes.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through?
Faith.
Verse 9, somebody tell me. It's not of works.
Yes,
lest any man
boast.
Too many of us, I'm including me, have boasted,
amen,
of how we have worked so hard,
yes,
and made a living.
Yes.
And you can't do that when there is a gift.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's true.
You can,
amen,
do it, but we shouldn't.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So he says here in Luke 13, everybody say work, please. If you would, be kind as you can. Tell somebody, say, you know, you never did get what you deserve. You never did get what you deserve. I didn't. What is it? Psalms 110. He hath not rewarded us according to our iniquities, nor hath he rewarded us according to our transgression. We deserve to be smoked. We didn't, none of us, get what we deserve. But we got the precious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't earn it. I can't work for it. Why have we thought we have to work this living? There is work involved. But I, because of hard work, I don't deserve it.
Yes.
There will be work. I'm building up so you understand very clearly. Sometimes people say, woohoo, honey, I don't have to go to work tomorrow. Brother Ricky said, I don't have to work no more. No, you need to provide. Are you with me? Amen. Luke 13:14. Everybody say work, please. He says, the ruler of the synagogue answered. How many remember the woman that was bowed over, couldn't no wise lift up herself? Jesus came, ministered to her. She is made straight and glorified God, right? Now look at this. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed when?
On Saturday.
Holy day. And said unto the people, there are what? In them, therefore, come and be what? But don't you do it on a holy day. It's sad that the ruler of the synagogue never saw healing as a gift. There are those that say the most important thing is to get somebody saved. If they're lost, I agree. If they're saved, I don't.
Amen.
If they're sick, if they're crippled, if they're handicapped, the most important thing is to teach them what belongs to them in Jesus and let them receive the free gift that belongs to them. Not try to work it. He said, don't even get healed on a holy day. People have saw prosperity as almost the same deal as this guy saw healing.
Amen.
That's just a side issue. That's really not important. But then they ask everybody in the world to help them and give them money. When there is a blessing to be the provider so that God gets the glory.
Amen.
Years ago when we were in Silsby, Texas, we had moved into the third building, that old pink one, the old Mexican restaurant. And a man stopped by. Yeah, that was the one. It was a pink building. It used to be a Mexican restaurant. And they had a great big black bull, a Toro on the front. And I told the board member, I said, we're not going to paint the bull. And they said, really? I said, no, we're going right underneath of it. Jesus loves you, no bull. But we didn't. We painted the bull. But we were in that third building. And a man come by. I have no idea what his name was. You remember, honey? And he said, I've heard about you and what you and your family are doing, different things. And he said, if you'll just give me permission to use your name, I'm going to invest in some stuff for you. And he said, it'll be a great, great return. And I said, well, I said, if you don't mind, give me a little time here to think about it and pray. And he says, why would you need to pray? He said, this is going to bring increase. And I said, well, I'd just like to pray. He said, all I need is permission to use your name. And so I went to God and I told Sally about it. And the Lord told me, he said, you remember what Abraham told that guy?
That's right.
Yeah.
He wanted to give him a bunch of stuff. And he said, no. He said, God promised me through the blessing.
Yes. That's
right. One of the very first thing he said, I will bless you.
Yes.
I will put something on you and then I'll get the credit.
Yes.
Lest Abraham said, if you give it to me, everybody will say, so-and-so made Abraham rich instead of God. My job made me rich.
No, it didn't.
No,
sir.
You should have a job.
Yes, sir.
So work here, if you look it up, means to toil, do labor for, listen to this one, to earn by working for. So the ruler of the synagogue says, if you want to get healed, you need to do some work to earn to get healed. That's why when Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and Brother Oral Roberts, Brother Oral Roberts ministered to some people, and a man come up to him and he had a child that was twisted. Man come up and had a wad of money in his hands, and Brother Roberts said, don't you dare hand that to me while the anointing of God's on me. The man was trying to be honorable but didn't know it was the wrong time.
Yes. Yes.
The, remember when Naaman got healed?
Yes.
How come Elisha didn't take any money? Because of the purpose. He's trying to pay. You can't pay for a healing. Amen. Before or after something, you know, it's probably fine. But you can't buy a healing from God. You can't, I can't earn a healing by showing up at church all the time. It's a gift as much as the blessing is. But here, everybody say work. This means to earn. Let me give it to you again. To earn by working for. Now go to John 9:4, please. King James will be fine. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must what? Thank you. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can. This word work right here means the active response of believers to the workings of God or to the power of God. The active response of believers to the workings of God or to work with God. Can you earn a healing?
No, sir.
Can you earn the blessing? But we have to learn and be taught how to work with it. We don't have to earn a living. There is a blessing. And there, he will reveal ideas. He will show us ways of doing things. He will bring opportunities by. Are you following me? That'll bring such great increase that accelerates so much what natural work in one full generation could do, and he can get done seven generations in one. It's called the blessing. The empowerment of God to produce. I can't work hard enough or long enough to earn any gift from God. I can't work hard enough or long enough. Now, can you go back, please? Deuteronomy 8, please. And we'll look in a couple of these verses. We'll start in verse 17. How did Adam have to provide for himself after he fell?
Toil.
Sweat. Right? Did he become provision minded?
Yes.
Now, Deuteronomy 8, please. Verse 17. King James reads, after he told, we read about all the good stuff, goodly houses, bread to the full, all the stuff, increase everywhere. He says in verse 17, and then, and thou say in thine heart, what?
My
power and might of my hand, this is sweat, hath gotten me this wealth. Verse 18. Tell me, what's it say? May establish his covenant, thy father's, as it is this day. Thank you all for helping read that. Now let's read verse 17, 18 in the message one more time. And in the message it says, if you start thinking to yourself, I did all this all by myself. I'm rich. It's all mine. What? I need to always remember that God, my God, gave me the strength to produce all this wealth. Everybody say power.
Power.
So as to confirm the covenant that he promised to our ancestors, but also as it is today. Tell me again, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, add no sorrow. No more toiling, no more sweating. The two different kinds of work. The ruler of the synagogue said, if that woman got healed, she should have come on not a holy day, but she should work. If you're going to work, work in these 6 days. Don't do it on a holy day. And that word work means to earn by working for, thinking you deserve.
Yes.
Jesus said in John 9:4, the works, I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus said, I didn't earn them. I must learn to cooperate and work with the presence of God.
Yes.
And it will produce.
Yes.
These are the two different kinds of work. Should we work?
Yes.
Absolutely. Bible says you don't work,
you don't
eat. But should I be in my working, sweating, the sole provider?
No.
No. Everybody say blessing.
Blessing.
Everybody say sweatless anointing. Several years ago, Brother Copeland, we was in his meeting. He told us, he said, we're coming into a sweatless anointing time.
Amen.
I didn't even know what it meant. Now I do. I'm learning.
Yeah. Amen.
A sweatless anointing. Everybody say opportunities.
Opportunities.
Everybody say things revealed.
Things revealed.
That's Proverbs 29:18. Vision.
Vision. Yeah.
You've heard my wife tell the story of our first, maybe second building. And how she had it in her heart to do. And we made negotiation. We did. And then so after we are getting ready to commit to it, I take a contractor, go look at the building. And it's, you can see the beams and they're rotten and different things. And God did not tell us to go inspect the building.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
He didn't tell us to try to make sense of it on paper.
Yes.
He said, buy the buildings.
Yes.
And if you've worked with God very much, he'll only tell you one thing at a time, and he'll see how you do with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So after we agreed, he said, do it. We signed on Friday. I left to go somewhere to preach. My wife called me that afternoon, said, there's a realtor here that have offered to pay for twice as much.
He didn't offer that much. He asked us if we was interested in
selling. Asked us if we was interested in selling. She said, I'll have to call my husband. She...
Actually, he asked me how much, and I told him.
Yeah. Say it again, hon.
He asked...
Go ahead, hon.
He asked if we were interested in selling it, and I said we possibly would be. And he said, how much? And I told him double what we had paid for it.
Yeah. So, Monday...
Actually, I told him we paid 30 for it. I told him 70. Uh-huh. He come back Monday morning and said they won't pay more than 60 for it.
We almost missed $30,000 over a weekend.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because we thought we needed to inspect the building.
Yes, sir.
And once we began, that was 20
years ago.
Since then, we've learned to be quicker to listen, not miss opportunities. All the increase we get does not have to be generated through work.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's it.
I'm talking about with the hand. It might involve some work, but there's such an acceleration. Increase, increase, increase. This is what the blessing of God is for.
Yes, sir.
All right. It's 7:18. Let's stop there. You want to? I tell you what. We'll go to one more. We've been there before, but let's go back. Go to Matthew 11:29. And we'll read this one. We've read it before, but we'll read it again. Before we close. Everybody say image.
Image.
Matthew 11:29, King James, 28. Come unto me all ye that labor and. What's going to happen? 29. Take what? My yoke. Is that 29?
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. What's he say?
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall have my rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy.
What did we read at the beginning? Isaiah 10:27. For the yoke shall be destroyed because of
the anointing.
And then in the Young's literal, it says, yoke hath been destroyed because of prosperity. Is that correct? What yoke should have been destroyed in your and my life? Lots of them. Lots. You know, the drinking, all the other stuff, how to make a living.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And then we get saved, and Jesus says, you're going to have to learn how to operate under this new yoke of mine. It's a whole nother way of living. They have it in the Living Bible, these verses. So this is what we're talking about. Come unto me, and I will give you rest, all of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke.
Amen.
Amen. My. Wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly, and let me teach you. Look at two or three folks. Say, I have to be taught how to live,
flow,
operate under this new yoke. I don't mind working. My wife don't mind working. And we've worked pretty tough our whole life. We don't mind it. But we are learned there is a easier way. It's called the blessing. But you have to be taught. Because your mentality, my images was so ingrained how we had to make a living.
Yes.
Amen. And it's deep seated.
Yes.
And it has to be uprooted and removed.
Yes.
Wear my yoke, for it fits how?
Perfectly.
It fits good, don't it? Then let me teach you. And remember, we've made statement about a yoke. One definition out of 2 Corinthians for a yoke is something that is to hinder or hold you. But the other definition of yoke is something that comes to assist and help you to succeed.
Yes.
Don't see yoke as just negative.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said, take my yoke. Learn to, it says, I got one that'll fit you perfect, but you got to be taught how to operate under it.
Yes. Yes.
Let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls. Everybody say, no more staying up at night. Amen. What are we going to do? You can ask my wife, I'd wake up in a cold sweat. One time we were $1 million in debt. You get to wondering where some of that's going to come from. Devil will wake you up and say, what you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? Are you following me? But if God led you into stuff,
yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Stay in faith.
Yes.
Wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly. Let me teach you, for I am gentle, humble, and you shall find... For I give you only because there's a yoke that helps me to succeed. Let's stand up. Praise God. If you don't mind, tell some folk, sweatless anointing. Hallelujah. I'll find that. If I brought it with me, I'll find that song. I've sang it here before, haven't I?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. No more sweating and toiling. Living by the grace divine. Mm-hmm. I'll find it. We'll sing it tomorrow morning. Amen. Does money scare you?
No.
How many of you are planning on when you leave to go get in your car and drive it home?
Yes.
Some of you like, I don't know. Is this a trick question? No, it's not. No, it's not. Are you afraid of your car? We used to have some we were. We got rid of them. We was afraid they'd break down on us. But I'm not afraid. It's a tool.
Yes, sir.
Some people see money as being afraid of it.
Yes, sir.
It's a tool.
Yes, sir.
It's a tool. There's things that you have a desire in your heart. Homes. Help pay this building off. Look, somebody say, they're going to pay this building off. Amen. Glory to God. Then we'll see what else God says, right?
Yes, sir.
But the blessing is an empowerment to help you and me increase.
Yes, sir.
Not hurt us.
Amen.
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 And then in the morning, we'll see where He'll have us go. We'll go one more time. Can you take one more service of it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Father, this evening, we thank You for the blessing of God. We thank You, Father, that we're learning. We are developing. There is increase for us on every hand. We thank You for the life that David gave as an example. Yes, we know David, he made some mistakes, but there were others. But Father God, we thank You for their examples of billionaires handling sums of trillions and billions of dollars. For building the kingdom of God, the temple of God.
Yes.
For putting things in place. Father, I thank You. As this group of people lives in this area, this Mojave, I believe it is, county, this valley, surrounding areas. I thank you that their voice becomes stronger and greater. That darkness is not able to persuade and do certain things. But the voice of the righteous would become stronger and stronger. And Father, we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, tell somebody, I am blessed by the best. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Before you leave, now is the time to plant a little seed, to put action to that faith that we've been talking about. And this is how we do this. So we'd like to take up an offering for the Drs. Edward.